If you've ever heard a recording of Joel Goldsmith, you will recognize his voice here. He was a Christian mystic, bypassing any doctrine, embracing us all in the common denominator of spirit. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries.
This is continuing on the subject of treatment. Now, this is the point that I wish to make that simplifies healing work if you catch it. But it is the one point on which, I suppose 99% of us fall down. And it is the one point that is never covered in any metaphysical teaching. Not Christian Science, not Unity, not New Thought. It is not covered any place. It is something that I call the middle path. Actually, this constitutes the basis of healing work as I understand it. But it requires the development of something that makes the middle path possible. The development of some inner sense that catches what I'm about to say. We have a patient called John Jones. And John Jones asks for help because he's ill. Right there, you have a human being, at the moment ill. But nevertheless, a human being, aging. I don't care if he's only 16 years of age, he's aging. Moving on toward those years that we call adulthood and middle years and old age and finally death. That's the picture that is presented to you. In your metaphysical practice, the idea is to take John Jones and make him well. So that if John Jones says, I have 104 fever, and calls up an hour later and says, I have 102 fever, you breathe a sigh of relief, and isn't that fine? And now if an hour later he calls and says, it's 99 2/5, that's perfect. So it is, the next one calls and says, I have burnt myself and it pains. And then the next hour, there isn't even a scar where it was. And again comes that sigh of relief. Isn't that wonderful? Why? We had a sick human being, now we have a well human being. Or the call comes and John Jones is dying. And there's no hope, the doctor says he'll be gone in 3 hours. But you are called, and 3 hours later, we hear that John Jones is sitting up and having orange juice. Isn't that wonderful? All based on the fact that John Jones was dying, but now he's alive. Matter of fact, he may be so alive that he goes to work tomorrow and gets run over by a trolley car. I have had two experiences in the recent years of this, which I have told classes. One was a man dying of heart disease after years of being under doctor's care and finally being told that this is the last week, this is the last attack, there is no further hope, it's too far gone. And at that stage, his wife, who was a student, said, why don't you let Joel take over? Well, he says, in the face of that verdict, why not? I certainly don't want to die, and these fellows hold out no hope. Call Joel. 5 weeks later, the same doctor took a cardiograph and found not one single scar on his heart, not one trace of heart disease, and never again did he have one single murmur from the heart. But this man decided, now I'm so well, watch me make money now. 2 years later, he had made a lot of money for the next 2 years, but he committed suicide. Life had become entirely unendurable to him. His heart wasn't bothering him, but something else was. In other words, that healing had not brought spiritual regeneration to the man. It had brought no desire for God. It was nothing more than a sick man made well, and it hadn't added any desire for life to him or given him anything, since we all know that outer success or money can only be a transitional happiness unless we find it incidental to something far greater than itself. I had another case of a man dying of leukemia. And this man was in a hospital. One of our students met his wife on the street one day. They were very good friends. And the wife says, "Well, I've just come from the hospital, and they say my husband will pass tonight." And she told him how few corpuscles there were left. I don't know if they were white or red or blue. It may have been a blue blood. But anyhow, there were this few corpuscles, and there should have been this many. And this man said to the wife, "Wouldn't you like spiritual help for your husband?" "No, we don't believe in that." "Well, don't you think he might like it?" "No, he doesn't believe it." "Well, would you speak to him about it?" "Oh, yes, I'm going back to the hospital, and I certainly will speak to him, and I'll phone you." And she phoned him and said, "He said, no, he doesn't believe in that nonsense." Well, this man came to me troubled. He liked this man. They were friends. And do we have to accept that verdict? And aren't you forgetting the teaching of the infinite way? What verdict? What man? What have we got to do with a sick man? Are we in the business of healing sick people? Do we much care whether they're sick or well? Why should we? It's their demonstration. We have nothing to do with being doctors. We have nothing to do with prolonging people's lives. Our work is the realization of God as individual identity. Now, is God any less this man's identity, whether he is, to our sense, living or dead, or sick or well? No. You sure of that? Oh, no, God is his identity. Well, what do you want God to be? I'll leave that alone. And Saturday, that man was released from the hospital, completely healed. A miracle had taken place that the doctor said they had never seen, but which they also said certainly sometimes happens. We don't know how or why, but it happens. So when this man came out of the hospital, our friend went to him and told him about this experience. "Oh, nonsense. Doctor says those things happen once in a while." We went to his wife and told her that inasmuch as they had never had a home up to then, and he'd had this second chance given to him, he thought he would give her a home, and he was going to build a nice one for her. And he did. He began building a home immediately. And when they got up to the roof, he was standing up there one day and fell off and was killed. Now, there again, there was no spiritual regeneration. There was no turning from matter to the other. Evidently, in both these cases, these men had come to the end of their span for one reason or another, and there's nothing we could do to prolong it. They themselves were determining their own experience, but that has nothing to do with us. Here is the point that has to do with us. Are we interested in whether a person's tombstone says 1953 or 1955? Is it important what date is on that tombstone, except for some human reason? Is not our work the realization of Christ as individual life, never born and never dying? Isn't that our vision, that whether we see a room full of well people or sick people, Christ is their true identity? The sickness or the wellness depends on our recognition of it and ultimately on theirs. Both of these men had the opportunity, had they been prepared for it, for some kind of a spiritual awakening to their true identity that may have changed the course of this human span. But one thing is certain. We have demonstrated that alive or dead, Christ is their true identity, even if they couldn't accept it. Now, I call this the middle path, and it is for this reason. John Jones now asks for help on the telephone, or in a letter, or in person. And what happens to us as practitioner in that moment when John Jones turns to us for help? Ah, there is the secret of the healing work. Are we going to try to improve John Jones, or are we going to sit there in the realization of Christhood? That is the point. The moment you enter into a human sympathy with John Jones, the moment you enter into a desire to heal him or improve him or reform him or correct him, you are on the basis of human regeneration, and when you're through, you still have a human being. No. That is not our function. We are not psychologists. We are not psychiatrists. And above all, we are not medical doctors. That is not our function. Our function is a revelation of God as individual you and me. Our function is the realization of our Christhood. Now, I don't care whether it is the thief on the cross. Please remember, the Christhood is the same. That is why the Master could take him into paradise tonight. He had no period to go through of reform or regeneration or punishment, and he had no karma to work out. If your sins are scarlet, ye are white as snow. When? When you turn for the recognition of your Christhood. Oh, you say, but I sin again tomorrow. That has nothing to do with it. You may sin tomorrow and the day after and next week, too. That is no more important than if your pain lasts today, tomorrow, next week, and next year. Not at all. What counts is that you have turned to the realization of your Christhood. Now, if you turn to one who can bring it forth into manifestation, it will come. Whether it comes instantaneously, as in both cases, or whether, as in some of our other cases, it is a slow process of moving out of material consciousness into spiritual consciousness, makes no difference. You can see where it might have been far better had these two not had instantaneous healings and been compelled to dig in and desire life and work at it and work at it until they come to their realization, than to have had an instantaneous healing that, so far as they were concerned, was just physical disease becoming physical health. Most of you here know the story of my very good friend and very longtime friend, Kate Buck. It is a matter of more than 60 years ago when Kate Buck was given up to die. Materia Medica had no hope for her at all. And in those days, surgery was a very risky thing, and she was advised not to try it. And so, in that condition, Kate Buck turned to Christian Science, which was a very young thing at the time. And Kate Buck had a very prosperous husband, so that she could afford the best practitioners and the best teachers in Boston, and she had them. But for 9 years, she lived on without a healing. She lived on always just in the verge of dying, or getting a little better, or sinking back. But she did hang on for 9 years. But in this ninth year period, it was very evident that she couldn't hold on much longer. She was going. And at that point, Kate says to herself, it can't be helped. I'm going. I might as well stop trying to be healed. I've done everything I can, so have these good practitioners and teachers. I think I'll spend my last weeks just trying to find out about God so that when I make the transition, at least I'll be a little closer to an understanding. And the moment she gave up trying to be healed and look for God, she was healed. And Kate Buck remained with us until she was 96 years of age. And for more than 50 of those years, she was one of the finest Christian Science practitioners in the entire movement. Did wonderful, wonderful healing work. But she had learned, you see, that you cannot heal physical disease. That isn't the function of real, true, spiritual Christian Science any more than it is the function of the infinite way. As we give up our nets, not seek to have our nets filled with more fishing, that really seems to exemplify the whole thing. That most of us are praying to God and turning to the Christ to have our nets made full of fish, where they seem to be empty, instead of The master's teaching of leave your nets. Leave your father. Don't go seeking companionship. Leave your companionship. Seek my companionship and see what happens. Ah, there we have it. We have a new dimension, another plane of consciousness in which we do not seek the human good. We do not seek human companionship. We do not seek human supply. We do not seek human anything, but rather we seek to leave those, to forsake them. Mother, father, sister, and brother, for my sake. Then what happens? We gain the spiritual sense of parenthood, childhood, husbandhood, wifehood. So it is with health. The moment you take the middle path, the moment you have this inner faculty that enables you, when the call comes, to disregard John Jones and all his ails and ills, and say, wait a minute, what am I doing? What is my mission? There's only one Son of God, and that's Christ. I have nothing to do with the infinite forms and varieties in which it appears. There's but one Son of God, Christ, and it was never born, and it will never die. It was immaculately conceived, if you want it that way. As a matter of fact, it was God unfolding, disclosing, and revealing itself in infinite form and variety without any human accompaniment, without any human mode and means, and always perfect spiritual harmonious. I had the case of a young woman having her first child. She was a Christian Scientist and was admitted to the Christian Science Maternity Hospital outside of Los Angeles. And the doctor knew me personally, knew my work, and admitted her, even though I wasn't an authorized practitioner at that time. I was in the infinite way. And when it came to the delivery, they found that it was a breach. The child was turned wrong into, and they did all the things that Materia Medica does to turn the child around, but they couldn't make it turn. And finally, when they had used all the physical force they could, and the mother's pulse was beginning to drop, the doctor said to the nurse, you'd better run outside and phone Joel. Now, when that phone call came, and it is clear in my mind this instant as it was then, there was only one vision that I could behold. That was not a mother having a baby, because there wasn't anything I could do about it. It was the fact of spiritual identity. Christ is the only being, and it was never conceived, and it was never born, and it will never die. There's only one being, and that's Christ. I'm in this middle here where I don't have a mother giving birth and a mother having a perfect birth. I'm in the middle here where there are no human mothers, where there aren't even spiritual mothers, where only Christ is in its full-blown identity. And with that vision, when the nurse went back, the baby turned itself around and brought itself forth. Not only the doctor phoned me and the head nurse of the hospital, but the nurse in the maternity, in the delivery room phoned me, but never had they seen an experience of that kind. They called it a perfect Christian Science delivery. Now, as a matter of fact, if we look at it from the standpoint of a bad or probably fatal delivery turned into a good one, we miss the point entirely. There can be no human intervention, not even mentally. Not even mentally. It wasn't even the recognition or declaration that it's a Christ that does the work. It is some inner faculty that enables us to know that we are not mortals going through an experience from birth to death. Now, for our purpose in healing work, please remember this, that the moment your thought goes to your patient in any human connection, the moment you start to give a patient human advice, whether they should change climates, or whether they should sleep with the windows open or closed, or whether they should change their food, from that moment on, you are out of the middle path. You are really out of spiritual healing and back into mental healing or dietetic healing or physical healing and not recognizing it. We have nothing to do with an individual diet. They will be divinely led to eat the right things and drink the right things. They will even be divinely led if their food is of such poor quality that it isn't properly feeding. They will even be led to take some vitamins to help it out. There'll be nothing wrong about that, because it will only be food in another form. They will be divinely led to what is right. Now, you, however, will have no part in that except your recognition of the middle path. You will hold only to one way. Christ is true being. You will have patients say, shall I give up smoking? Shall I give up drinking? Or I care. I don't care what you do. I'm not interested in your being a better human being. Not a bit. I don't care if you smoke or drink. I don't care if you jump off a roof. All I'm interested in is this thing in here that recognizes the Christ of your being. And my constant recognition of that Christhood results in this Christ revealing itself, manifesting, and expressing itself. But remember, again, the statement of truth won't make it so. You must come to a place in the middle path. It's almost a place of indifference to humanhood. Almost a place of indifference to humanhood. It is a place of recognition of Christhood. It is true, you lose all desire to heal. You lose all desire to reform. But a wonderful thing happens too. You lose all criticism of people who are not living up to your human standards of what is right and wrong. You can no longer differentiate between saint and sinner. You can no longer differentiate between the good human and the bad human, because into your vision there comes the realization of true identity, and they will awaken to that. Some instantaneously, some quickly, some slowly, and some interminably slowly. Because in some cases, it involves a transition within them from the material sense of existence to the spiritual. It entails the dropping away of human characteristics, human faults, human failings, until they themselves enter this spiritual realm of existence. So you see, don't, during this week, do not let us get away from this middle path. Remember that it may be for a while a matter of training. A matter of training yourself to an utter indifference of the human picture while you stand on spiritual integrity, while you stand on the Christhood of the individual. That doesn't mean that as the temptation comes to you to believe that you have some sickness to overcome, that you will not also be consciously rising, wait a minute, I'm not using God as a power to do something here. I'm not turning to God for a miracle. I am standing fast in the realization of, in spiritual living, we need no miracles. In spiritual living, harmony already is. And that brings you back to that word, is. It isn't such a difficult thing to be on the middle path if you have the help of the word is. Because always if you are tempted to do something to improve the scene, you can come back, no, wait a minute, it already is. Already is the only truth, is. Hold to that is. Then you lose the temptation to try to make it become so. Do you see that? Now, in the metal science days, it was taught that being is becoming. Being can't be becoming. Being is. Is. It may be coming to our awareness. Just as the child, the youngster, each day learns something about this world, and to its sense as if it were becoming so. To our sense, no, it's always been that way. That child is merely becoming aware of that which is. So we spiritually may be learning new truths each day, or thinking we are, but actually we aren't. We're becoming aware of that which is. So, healing work really is constituted of the recognition of the Christhood of individual being, which already is. Now, you certainly don't need any God to make it so. You don't need any God power to make it so. All you need is your own vision to behold Christhood. Never attempt to make it so. Never attempt to bring it about, either by healing or reforming. Never. Stand fast in the middle path of the realization of Christhood, and let the good human and the bad human be what they are at any given moment. Let the sick human and the well human be whatever they are at any given moment. Don't feel elated about 99 and 2/5 temperature, because it can change down or up in a second. We have no temperature. We have only Christhood. Don't be elated about the lump going down, and don't be alarmed about the lump going up. You have nothing to do with lumps. You have to do with Christhood. Your vision is not the changing of physical conditions. Your vision is a vision of eternal, infinite Christhood. I am with you before Abraham. I am with you. I am with you unto the end of the world. This Christhood is a permanent identity. It is not one that someone can heal us of or make us into. Not even Jesus Christ coming to earth could make Christhood. Christhood was the established being. He revealed it to the ignorant thought, just as Mrs. Eddy revealed it and Mrs. Unity revealed it, and we are revealing Christhood. The only thing is that at this particular stage, our work is going a step beyond those in the fact that we are not concerned with mental causes for physical disease. We're not even concerned with moral causes for physical disease. We are not interested in changing humanhood. We have now come to the point of the Master's revelation where he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Who made me a judge over you? Who made me a divider? No, no, no. I am not going to get up an army and free you either from Rome or from the Hebrew church. You stay in that slavery as long as you're human. Maybe it'll wake you up and bring you to the realization of your Christhood. Then you'll not be in bondage to any man or any government or any physical condition or mental or moral condition or financial or economic condition. You will not be freed from error. You will be freed in Christ. Once you are freed in Christ, you're not freed from it. That's why you can't free anyone. You can't free anyone from a bad marriage. And you can't free anyone from a bad job. And you can't free anyone from a bad business. And you'll never free anyone from a concentration camp. You can reveal their spiritual freedom in Christ. And that will break all material, mental, moral, economic fetters. Is that clear? We must see clearly that the most important part of all our work is the meditation. Our entire existence can be built around meditation and the two great commandments of the Master. These become our entire existence after a while. The reason is this: what we learn is not learned so much through the mind as through the soul. Definitely, there are such things as spiritual faculties.
We'll continue the recording of Joel Goldsmith next week. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.